gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
So just warning everyone in advance, Jim's in a mood.
Yes, he's in a state.
Right. Yeah, we were discussing what to do here in the opening segment, and he said, or you could just shut the hell up because I have a headache.
Oh, okay. A little titchy, huh?
All right. Perfect for radio. Silence. 1-800-STEP-12.
3 hours of crickets.
Great.
And then the official hypochondriac of the Stephanie Miller Show, I love how no matter what I say, he goes, oh, stroke. I said, I'm a little sweaty. He said, oh, stroke.
Yeah, he just defaults to stroke.
Mm-hmm. That's his default setting.
It might be brain cancer. But.
I know. Okay.
Worst case scenario, man.
Wow.
Oh, I'll ask Siri.
Yeah.
All right. We were discussing that with Jackie at the top of the hour. Siri sucks. I'm just saying, I think we can all... I don't understand what happens. I enunciate for a living, and I don't understand when I say call Chris LaVoie, she says sometimes, I don't know what you mean by flower.
I do not know what you mean by flag.
Exactly. She speaks Nell back to me.
Maybe say it in French. Call right. Chris Lavoie. Because it pronounces it Chris Lavoie.
Right.
So,
whatever.
Appelez Christian Lavoie.
Après moi le déluge.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity, hypochondriac Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Coming up on the big show, Representative, as Tom Brokaw would say.
Raul Grijalva.
Yes.
I
hear it as him doing Tom Brokaw in my head when I read it. I can't
never
help
been
myself.
Hammer.
As far as we know.
Yeah. Okay. He's calling to talk about, obviously, the president's immigration policy.
Yep.
And Ron Barber, yay, winning Gabby Gifford's old seat there in Arizona.
Yep.
Charlie Pierce with some hilarious stuff this week at Esquire, as usual. Paul Gitomi and Jeff Zerillo, they're the Prop 8 defendants in the, what do you call it? I don't know what you call them. Is it defendants? I think so. In the Prop 8 case.
Plaintiffs.
Thank you. Plaintiffs. Thank you very much. I have to ask Siri.
Because it's Perry versus Schwarzenegger, and Perry would be the plaintiff,
you know,
and Schwarzenegger is the defendant.
Siri does. She frequently sends you to places that don't exist anymore. Okay, I'm just getting it all out of my system about her. We're having a situation.
What is happening?
You know when you'll say, I need bicycle shops in whatever, and then she makes up places that don't exist anymore. Okay,
well,
anyway.
There's going to be an update of the Siri software coming this fall, and a lot of that should be fixed.
Better be. Yes. Okay, and Representative Robert Andrews to talk health care and much more.
Yep.
All right. Oh, I heard Jan Schakowsky, our congresswoman extraordinaire on Bill Press,
mm-hmm.
and she was saying she thinks we're going to get a good decision on the health care in the Supreme Court. And what surprised me is she said even if they strike down the mandate, she thinks we'll be okay.
Okay.
She was pointing out that Medicare, that there's not a mandate for Medicare, but that if you wait till you're older, it's more expensive.
Yeah.
And she said there is another way to, you know, skin the cat.
Well, I know that a lot of conservative bloggers are kind of hanky about the way Justice Kennedy will go.
Yes.
They're a little bit worried about that. But then Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg indicated that she and Scalia were having a big fight over a change in his positions on something.
Oh, this one? Yeah.
Well,
here's the thing. He's really more of a politician than a judge at this point.
So why the hell is he sitting on the bench?
It's because of a book. Scalia reverses himself. He now disagrees with a key precedent supporting the constitutionality of health care reform. He has, within days of this ruling, he's releasing a new book in which he finds fault with a Roosevelt-era Supreme Court decision that forms a critical part of the legal undergirding for the health care law. For Scalia, that's a dramatic turnaround.
Suddenly.
Oh, he's like the Supreme Court's Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a flip-flopper.
That just got you.
Uh-huh.
Now
he previously,
a flip-flop?
Now he had previously embraced the premise of that decision. It was interesting. A lot of law professors had the same opinion we did. One of them, professor at Washington and Lee, said, I've always had the impression Justice Scalia's primary approach to judging is political.
Yeah. Huh.
Therefore, he will interpret the Commerce Clause broadly to support federal laws he likes, but narrowly to strike down those he doesn't. This is typical Scalia, said a UCLA law school professor. He respects precedents when they fit his conservative ideology and disregards them when they don't. Once again, we see that Scalia's originalism is a charade.
He was a H.W. Bush appointee, wasn't he?
Oh, indeed.
Uh-huh.
Indeed.
Just underscores how bad a president H.W. Bush was.
And he gave us, of course, Citizens United, which, thank God, there's a new airline.
At Citizens United Airlines, we've flown hundreds of millions of dollars to thousands of destinations all across America. Citizens United is the airline that's all first class with no riffraff. Our flagship, the Spirit of Congress, has 535 first class seats that we fill just the way we like. And remember, you can fly Citizens United anonymously. Citizens United Airlines, we dedicated to giving you the shaft we think you deserve. Come fly the unfriendly skies.
Rocky Mountain Mike.
Hooray!
Come on right out of the box this morning. Yeah, by the way, this story, before we do Right Wing World, this story, this just made my head explode, healthcare-wise.
Yeah.
This is what you were talking about. Conservative bloggers fret over SCOTUS and Kennedy.
Yeah.
Many anxious conservative activists gathered at the Right Online bloggers. Oh, that ought to be a fun fest.
Yeah, oh, boy.
Express fear. The Supreme Court is going to withhold healthcare because of Anthony Kennedy's swing vote. But I love this. Are you ready for the last paragraph, Chris?
What?
Conservatives stressed, however, their opposition to health care reforms backed by Obama didn't mean the status quo was working. I hope it's overturned in total, said one. We need health care reform in this country very badly, but the reform needs to be based on individual responsibility.
Yeah.
How does that sound like you? How does that sound like? Does it sound like a mandate? Does it?
A little bit. A little bit.
I am not one of your fans!
No, guess where that was? SayAnything.com blog. Because I guess they'll just say any pops out of their ass. That's
any effing thing that they want. Yeah,
So that's that.
So that happened.
So that's, they're really willing to be very helpful, realizing that the status quo in healthcare not working, Chris. You see how that is?
No.
And because, but they realize that all needs to hinge on individual response, which is another code word for mandate.
You know, the mandate was originally a far-right Heritage Foundation think tank idea.
Bob Dole's plan. Bob Dole thought it was a great plan.
Bob Dole thought Bob Dole should pass that, because great idea. Bob Dole thought of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Although Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole should stop referring to Bob Dole in third person.
Yeah.
Bob Dole sounds like a first name.
Takes care of personal responsibility. Yeah. The responsibility to get insurance for your damn self.
Exactly. So the rest of us are paying for it
when
you go to the emergency.
Or when you're getting Viagra, for example.
Exactly. For example, when you have a four-hour chubby. For example. All right. Speaking of former... you highlight my faux pas. Just let them...
Just twirl off into space?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
The fact that you said chubby?
See, that made it worse. This never happens on Roger Hedgehog's show.
Cock!
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You keep getting that wrong.
His name wrong. Yes.
That's, 4 hour right. Roger Hedgehog, we call him.
That's what they're called. That's the ER in the emergency room code word. It's a hedgehog.
Cock.
Okay. All right. Kids, speaking of the reason I bring this up, so to speak, former presidential candidates, Bob Dole.
Yeah.
Can I just say we do a lot better casting on our side than Republicans do? So John Kerry is going to play the role of Mitt Romney in the debate prep.
That's right.
With President Obama. Because it's perfect because he knows Mitt's record in Massachusetts very well because he's from there.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows which lies he's going to tell.
Sure.
About his record. So Romney's campaign would not comment on who would play Obama during Romney's debate.
Alan Keyes.
Yeah, we got a black guy.
Can they get Samuel Jackson, Ving Rhames, anybody? No? Republicans.
Get these dressage horses off my...
Get these...
...and plane.
Romney's campaign would not comment on who would play Obama during Romney's debate preparations, but since 1996, this is kind of sad, they've turned to Rob Portman every time. Rob Portman's played the senator from Ohio.
That's
odd.
He's played the Democratic presidential nominees. He even stood in for Hillary Clinton. Horrible casting.
Yeah.
When his former roommate, Rick Lazio, remember that douche, ran against her for the Senate.
Hmm.
Yeah. Again, better casting for Hillary, I think. I don't understand that, but all right.
At least get Jeanine Turner.
Somebody,
somebody.
Victoria Jackson, something. Yeah, I know you have very
Victoria
limited
Jackson
casting ability among Republicans. That is a shallow bench, let me just tell you, for casting.
What about Babe Buchanan?
That is a really shallow talent pool there.
Dennis Miller, Jackie.
That'd be funny. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? We'll start a skosh now. Oh, it's our good friend Sean Hannity.
Now, it appears there are absolutely no limits to what President Barack Obama will say and do to win this election. Now, in a brazen election year stunt, aimed at winning over Hispanic voters, the anointed one announced Friday that this nation will no longer deport young illegal immigrants. Now, in other words, without the consent of Congress, through this unilateral executive order, President Obama has made amnesty the official policy of the United States of America.
No, that you're thinking of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Check the picture of Ronald Reagan that I gave you behind you. Remember I gave him a picture of Ronald Reagan?
That's right. And he loved it.
He did. Because I kept my promise. He came on the show and I got him a picture. Anyway, my point is...
Didn't he get you a teddy
Reagan,
bear?
Yes. So he was actually hurt that I threw it away on air. Okay.
He's a softie.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, I mean, that's what Reagan... That's the thing, is it just kills me. They cannot... They have no sense of reality about what Reagan was for. He actually gave amnesty to millions of illegals. This is not amnesty.
No, he didn't. Shut up.
All right.
And he did not.
I hate to pop his little bubble. All right. Bill O'Reilly on the
president's new policy might very well be illegal. It is up to Congress to make federal law, not the president. There is no discretion in exempting a large group of people from federal law. Nevertheless, the Obama administration is doing it. So we can expect court challenges to the president's illegal alien pronouncement and charges that Mr. Obama has once again overstepped his constitutional authority. On the political front, Mitt Romney believes the president's move was dictated by vote pandering.
So when Reagan did the same thing, it was
they don't cover that on Fox. They don't did.
Because he did this with his hands. Yeah.
Their archive doesn't go back that far.
No.
Can I just tell you my favorite part of Charlie Pierce's column real quick, give you a little flash forward to next hour? He says there's the mysteriously unincarcerated John Yoo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the lawyer that wrote the torture memos for the Bush administration.
What happened to him?
He wrote, Charlie says, and I'm not making this up, President Obama's claim he can refuse to deport 800,000 aliens here in the country illegally illustrates the unprecedented stretching of the Constitution and the rule of law.
Now he's worried about
Now
a warning?
Mm-hmm. Charlie writes, I tried to reach Irony for comment on both of these items, but she had downed 25 Xanax with a fifth of Stoli and was being rushed to the ER.
All right. I love Charlie Pierce.
Yay, Charlie Pierce. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we will be back with more Right Wing World. In the meantime, kids, carbonite. We got another unsolicited testimonial on the phone yesterday. Just out of the blue like that. Poof. Because why? It's something you think you don't maybe need, and then your computer disaster happens, and it will. The moment's right after that disaster, scary, right? You're scanning your mental Rolodex for everything that's in there, precious photos, your music, proposals, stuff for work, personal stuff, financial documents. You just do it now. Back up your files with Carbonite. You'll never have to worry again. Carbonite backs everything up in there automatically and continually. They're stored safely and securely. Where, Jim? On the cloud. Yeah. Yeah, hey, you.
I've looked at clouds from both sides.
Right, okay, go with that song. That's fine. Carbonite has
it. Will even save that song in the cloud.
Yes.
I could.
Love that song, Both Sides Now. Oh. Carbonite is a better backup plan with prices starting at just $59 for the entire year.
That's a bargoon.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, go to Carbonite.com. Type in my offer code Stephanie for a free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. Judy Collins version, just so you know.
No,
okay.
Is there any other version?
Yes.
Right back.
Joni Mitchell wrote it.
Right. Speaking of right back with Right Wing World, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Dana in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the outhouse. Oh, geez.
The outhouse.
In Montana.
Bullet-riddled outhouse.
Dana, for people that don't understand what you mean, explain it.
It's in Montana. I'm guessing they're not familiar with indoor plumbing, you know, which I guess makes sense. But they put up an outhouse, and not only is it just a disgrace to President Obama, you know, for a good time, call Hillary, like right near the toilet paper. Yeah. You know, it's absolutely disgusting.
It's a, what is it? It says Obama on the side.
Yeah, it says Obama Presidential Library.
Right. It was put up.
Then,
it was put up by a bunch of teabaggers at the GOP convention in Montana.
Yes, and then it says for a good time, call Hillary. I mean, it's absolutely
disgusting. And the outhouse is riddled with bullets too.
Yeah, just riddled
also,
with bullets.
Also,
and it's
also
it's
funny.
It's a working outhouse, and they keep rolling it around. And you know. To me, the general disrespect for this president in the Rose Garden, you know, you're a liar. I mean, had we done that to Bush, you know, I mean, there would just be mayhem to pay.
Yeah.
And for some
Dana,
reason...
I heard a right-wing radio host defending this yesterday.
Was it Tucker Carlson?
No, no, no. No, the, the the blogger in the Rose Garden, like, oh, they disrespect... They shouted questions at Reagan. It's like...
Oh, please.
They shout questions at every president after he's done.
Right. Yes.
Right. This is nothing compared. I mean, an outhouse, you know, it's disgraceful. Yeah. And they're all standing out there with their babies in their arms and they're laughing. And it's like, you know, I know you use an outhouse at home, but, you know, we don't find this amusing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I said, if the shoe was on the other foot, no pun intended to throwing a shoe at George Bush, he had to go to another planet, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't, you know, the wagging the finger, Jan Screwer, I hate her.
Oh, wow.
You know,
all right.
But you know what I mean? It's the tenor
I got
the disrespect.
That's right.
I gotcha.
What can we do?
Yep. Dana, I gotcha. I hear you. Well said. I mean, there's a new example every day, it seems like, where
the
you
risk
go,
of,
really?
Was it
all the same? I mean, this right-wing host was going, oh, they were unbelievably disrespectful to Reagan. They were always shouting questions at him.
After his statements.
Yes,
if
that's
it's
what...
press conference...
Every president in the history of the country, after he finishes the press conference and he's leaving, they shout questions.
Sure.
They can get one last...
You know.
But the host made it sound like, oh, but that poor old Ronald Reagan, they were just yelling...
At the risk of sounding impolitic, I think there are some problems that can only be solved with napalm.
Just saying.
Oh, Jim Louise. Oh, and by the way, the Stephanie Miller Show also wishes to apologize. I think some people in Montana do have indoor plumbing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have been to Missoula, and it is lovely. And we disavow Dana's comments that everyone in Montana uses an outhouse.
And hot springs. Some people in Montana are normal old toilet goers.
Yes.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Some people do a duty in the toilet.
They're just there.
And we apologize.
Little pockets of right-wing lunacy.
Mm. Anyway. Oh, I know the other example they're citing on the right-wing radio is Helen Thomas. Well, again, there's a difference between somebody asking tough questions or questions that you know.
At a press conference.
Right.
Which is what you do.
Oh,
she never interrupted a statement.
Oh, and you know what he played? He played a clip of her, I believe it was asking Bush, Mr. President, this was a war of your own choosing and blah, blah, blah. You're citing that as the same guy. Yeah, it's a tough question.
That was a question in the question time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but that was like the same example of rudeness as somebody basically heckling the president while he's talking.
That's apples comparing apples and some fruit nobody's ever heard of.
Exactly. My point. What?
Apples and snurva.
And snurva.
Yes.
Right, Siri?
Fruit. Yeah.
Apples and slapern. Where can I buy the freshest sneegan in Los Angeles?
Turn right at Clark Haverhill Avenue.
John in St. Louis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good
morning.
Good.
So good to be with you. I love you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Listen, I wanted to tell you just real quick, I'm a Vietnam vet and I'm disabled. I am voting for Obama because this man has done more for the vets than anyone since Lyndon Johnson. I would like to also say that I don't think there's ever been a Romney in the service of this country. In the armed services.
Right, because they were serving a higher purpose, and that's getting Mitt Romney elected.
Sure.
Great.
Love you said yesterday, I'm not a politician. I don't. That's not my career. It's what? You've been running for president since you
and
were...
And you've been losing.
A zygote.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kind of funny.
You mean like ha-ha Jerry Seinfeld funny or...
Stephanie Miller.
God bless her, she's trying funny.
That is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we continue Right Wing World. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Baier.
For Romney, it's a losing proposition to get into a fight. There's a very clever trap by Obama. It's a way to lure, first of all, Romney away from talking about the main issue, yes. economics. Any day Romney's talking about anything other than economics is the day Obama wins. Uh-oh. And secondly, it isn't an easy issue for Romney to counter. It's a losing proposition. I think Romney is right. He'll kick it into the future. If he is elected, he'll cancel the order and try to substitute real legislation. So why get into a distraction right now?
Yeah, what? Yeah, Winton's not doing so well on the whole immigration thing. You've got, Richard Land, the evangelical leader, Bill Kristol, also. He ought to applaud the president and say he's going to do this. Charlie Pierce actually printed the entire transcript of Mitt's answer to this with Bob Schieffer.
It was lots of circles.
It could have been, it could have been Sarah Palin. It was just, I will look at that in the future, and I don't really, we'll look at that. It was just a complete... It was an entire page of non-answer.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he is on tape. He could not be more unequivocal in the Republican primaries. I will veto the Dream Act. I will veto it. Absolutely.
That's right.
I mean, so what's he talking about?
I have no idea. And have you seen Marco Rubio out there whining and crying? Well, why didn't the White House contact me?
Why did they call me? Because, isn't it? It's kind of strange. He's a half-term senator, right?
Yeah.
Huh. I thought those people were too inexperienced to be consulted in any way.
Oh, by the way, ABC News is reporting that Marco Rubio is not being vetted by the by the Romney team.
People are ignoring me.
All right. Bill Hemmer and Carl Cameron on Fox News.
Back in this country now, Governor Mitt Romney hitting America's heartland yet again today, taking his six-state bus tour through some battlegrounds like Wisconsin and Iowa. And although the president won all six states back in 2008, Governor Romney says he is the one who can restore America's greatness, using one of the greatest lines, in fact, from The Great Communicator.
Mitt Romney spending a lot of time yesterday sort of echoing Ronald Reagan and taking the six-state bus tour across the heartland.
Oh. Echoing him, you mean on amnesty?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Computer says no.
How is he echoing Reagan?
I have no idea.
Oh.
But Fox News was pushing that and
with that
pushing
Reagan-y
that
hair
yesterday.
With those Americana kind of themes.
Well, there I go again.
By
is
the
that
way,
Reagan-y enough for you?
Because you had a headache, Jim. I started with Right Wing World, which is less irritating than the Romney bus tour audio. So we'll. I was trying to start with the least irritating thing, and when you know that's Right Wing World, we're in for trouble. We're in for a bumpy ride. Yeah.
He kind of had a supermarket scanner moment. We'll be touching on that a little bit later on.
Oh, he had a supermarket. He's amazed by everything.
Yes.
He's, you said Jim Gretchen Carlson, stunned by air. He's like that.
Yeah.
He's like, isn't that amazing?
Marvelous.
Wow.
Oh.
Look at that.
Wow.
Who knew?
Okay. Glenn Beck at the Faith and Freedom Conference.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
I have seen the finger of God. I've seen it. You can call it whatever you want, but I've seen the finger of God. He is not neutral in the affairs of man. The Lord's arm is extended.
Oh, wow.
He is our Father. He's saying, come to me, please. Just come to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
His arm is extended. What finger is being used?
Which finger is?
I think it's the middle finger.
Hey, Beck, pull my finger.
Yeah, God is giving Glenn Beck the middle finger. That's...
if he is, he's using it to change the channel on a radio station. That's what he's doing there.
Mm-hmm.
The finger of God.
People frequently do when Glenn Beck is on.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to mention again? They replaced him with my show in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Ratings went down 90%. Yeah. So the finger of God really hitting that button hard.
Finger where God was pointing towards the door.
Get out! You're done.
Stop using my name. Okay. Mike Huckabee on the radio.
We had said earlier in the hour that Bristol Palin would be joining us about a new reality show that she's going to be doing.
Awesome.
And apparently, she just didn't show up. So guess what? I don't guess we'll be watching tomorrow when her new show lines up. Too bad. Once the child decides, hey, I like this spotlight. I like the limelight. I want to have more of it. Then, you know, they become fair game. And then they are there by their own choice and their own volition. So if you, you know, go on Dancing with the Stars or go on a lecture tour or do a reality show, you know, then all the bets are off.
Wow, you heard Uncle Mike, everybody. Bristol Palin, fair game now.
Fair game.
She stood Mike Huckabee up.
Wow.
Wow. He finds her as deeply unpleasant as all the rest of us. Yeah. Wow, there's a magical bipartisan moment there. Thank you, Mike.
Also, too, you betcha, in addition.
Okay. Hmm. Wow, yeah, just as whiny and victim-y as her mom.
Yep.
All right.
Wow.
Boy. Okay. Oh, speaking of right-wingers, you're right. To a person, they defended this heckler in the Rose Garden.
Mm-hmm.
What would we call it? The muckraker?
Sure.
Sure.
Tucker Carlson's muckraker?
Yeah.
Do-do-do-down, do-do-do-down, down. Put Obama down, do-do-do-down, down. Just the right-wing clown, do-do-do-down, down. Waking muck is hard to do. Don't take your blood away from me. Can't you see I live in fantasy? He's a Kenyan Muslim, that is true. And waking up is hard to do. Don't say that you won't tweet no more, 'cause my IQ is at 64. He's a communist and Nazi too, and raking muck is hard to do.
Mike, score! Shoot scores again!
That's right!
All right, Tony in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tony.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment. Antonin Scalia was a Reagan appointee.
That's right.
Yes.
I stand corrected.
Yes.
And about the muckraker, I would rather the president called him out like he did, rather than just play the I didn't hear the question like Reagan used to do.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
Tony, I can't believe I was listening to the same right winger yesterday, and he tried to make it sound like the president, you know, lost it or was oversensitive or something. The president was, I think, about 100% cooler mm-hmm. than most of us would have been in that,
right.
You know, circumstance.
And I mean, I saw those. Did you see those reporters around Neil Monroe? I mean, they looked so, just astonished that he would do that.
Yeah.
I know. No, I mean, I think everybody that watches that's fair-minded has the same reaction, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. It's just not, you know, it's not done.
Nope.
Sylvia in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to add to what you were just talking about. You know, this all goes with that disrespect for the president because he's a black man. That's the point of all this. The other lady that called in regarding that presidential library stunt that the teabaggers put out.
Yeah.
You know, that was put right in front of the Republican conference that they were having, and instead of having them tow it away, they just left it there. And I heard an interesting viewpoint on that they're doing this, that they allow this to happen because, and they try to play it down, but they want to stoke that anger against a black man being in the White House. They want to continue that because they want to get Obama out, you know. So I don't know. I just think that people lose the main point that this is a disrespect for a black man. I mean, even that Neil Monroe, the way
the thing is, Sylvia, even the things that are not, I mean, I guess even Jan Brewer, you can't say that's inherently racist. It's just rude.
Right.
And there's been an unprecedented amount of rudeness to this president. And again, I don't think I'm misusing unprecedented.
No.
It's a word that seems to come up a lot regarding this presidency.
Can you imagine if some woman had stuck her finger in Ronald Reagan's face?
Yeah, yeah.
The right wing would go ape dump.
Yeah.
Listen, you Ronnie, you actor.
Leisha in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Leisha.
Hey, Stephanie, I want to add to the lady who just spoke. I mean, she's right on the money. I'm African-American, and I'm outraged about everything. I mean, the teleprompter first. Let's bulletproof the teleprompter. Spoken by the man, it says a woman who needs an aspirin between her knees. The whole outhouse, I mean, that is what's, I can't believe Mitt Romney has not spoken out or the Republicans have not condemned that.
Leisha, and I forget what's in there about Michelle Obama, but has there also not been, I think, unbelievable disrespect to Michelle Obama?
Yep.
You know, I mean, among first ladies, or am I wrong?
This pastor who hung an
an effigy of the president outside his church. You call yourself Christians, Republicans?
Yeah. Yeah.
You allow that? And where's the Democrats? Where are the Democrats? Where are they screaming and yelling? I mean, Johnny said something about Mitt Romney's wife not working a day in her life, and they almost coughed up a lung over that.
Yeah. Yeah. And meanwhile, you know.
I can't stand this.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Rush Limbaugh can make fat jokes about Michelle Obama, call her Moochell. And I can't even keep track of the barely or not barely coded racist language that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. All right. So, you know, not my imagination then. Good.
It's almost as if they put a suffix on everything they talk about him. You know, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
everything they say about him is demeaning.
Yeah. I mean, but Lisa raises a good, it'd be different if this is lunatic fringe. Because, look, there's lunatic fringe on the left, too. But this is outside a Republican conference where major Republicans are speaking. Obviously visible. It's not at some lunatic fringe gathering. It is.
Right.
That's my point, is Republicans have become lunatic fringe.
Yeah.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's a bad man, a gemma. Just as fine as she can be. Hey, she's a bad man, a gemma. Oh, just as fine as she can be.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it this hour, brought to you by Solar World. Solar World has been making solar panels right here in the U.S. of A. since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Greg in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Hi, everybody. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Before we get too far in throwing the Montana under the bus, just remember Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer is one of the leading lights in progressive politics.
He's a good guy.
And secondly, if I'm not mistaken, the Montana legislature passed a law counter to the Citizens United ruling of the United States Supreme Court. So this should be an interesting legal battle there.
Yeah, exactly. No, and Montana's beautiful. I just vacationed there not too long ago, and it's Missoula. There's a lot of places that are very, very where people duties in the toilet. Okay.
Yeah, so the...
Just saying, not everyone uses an outhouse. That was a bad representation of Montana, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad representations, how about that guy from... Have you seen that congressman from Texas on TV? Representative Blake Farenthold, Republican of Texas?
Yeah.
Jim, is it me, or does he not... Does he look like a...
a doughy pant load.
Well, like a hee-haw cast reject of some sort. He's a little startling.
How do you spell his last name?
Farenthold. He's a rotund gentleman that appears to be lacking some teeth. So he's a little startling when you see him on TV. He has a very curly hair. He's rather, and he's a, he's a, okay.
Yeah. In the picture I'm seeing, he's not flashing what's left of his teeth. So
no. It's a little startling. He's the one that said 16-year-old children can make their own immigration decisions. Did you see this?
Sure.
Did you see him on the CNN?
Yep. Wow.
He said, he told Soledad O'Brien he believes 16-year-olds can make their own decisions about immigrating to the U.S., so it is their fault, claiming his 16-year-old daughter pretty much argues about everything the family wants to do.
Oh, well, so that solves everything. What?
Yeah, he said, well, you're talking about people that came over at 16. At that point, you have a say in it. That looks more like amnesty.
Oh,
so that's it. You think a 16-year-old whose parents are coming across the border has a say in whether or not they're, they're going to stay behind in their own country. He said they're certainly in a position to have a conversation with their parents about it. I wonder if his daughter has a conversation about his lack of teeth with him.
Oh, no.
God, you're embarrassing me. You've got some teeth. We have dentists in Texas. I'm just saying, 16-year-old girls would be a little... They're already embarrassed of their parents.
And if your parent
happens to be toothless. I'm just saying.
Your parent has
I bet
to,
she's had some thoughts about it.
Parent has, happens to be Blake Farenthold.
Okay, Dad, if you have to pick me up from school, just don't smile.
And wear a bag over your head.
Something. Or just drop me off a block away. Oh, God.
That's your dad? Ew.
Y'all are mean.
At least my dad actually got cast on Hee Haw. Your dad is a reject.
I tell you what.
I think he starts every sentence with, I tell you what.
I tell you what. If y'all are 16, y'all can make your own decisions.
Shut up, Misty. Daddy's got to have somewhere for the tobacco juice to come out of. Bing. Bing.
And what did you do with my banjo?
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes for the previous stereotypes. However, just look at him. Go online. You have a, he has no teeth.
Who took my banjo out to the back house?
I think banjo is more Appalachian, not Texan. Okay, just saying.
But you're playing that. Well,
bing.
That was guitar, actually.
Yes,
that
was guitar.
Tobacco juice hitting all them piano keys there. You need a little opening. Okay.
Oh.
What? Tony in Texas. Hi, Tony. Tony. There you are. Yes, hello.
The most beautiful liberal in the world, Stephanie.
I'm the most beautiful girl in the world?
The most beautiful liberal in the world.
Liberal in the world. Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, they're conservative women more beautiful than you.
Right. To get a line from Hee Haw, I'm a picking and you're a good lady.
All right, I can't understand what he's saying. Is it me? I couldn't understand what he said. I don't.
Yeah, he said, just like in Hee Haw, I'm a picking and you're a grinning.
Huh.
Did you ever watch Hee Haw?
Yes, sadly for me, I did.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Jackie Schechner mocked me for making a Walton reference yesterday to her.
That's kind of an old reference.
It is old.
Good night, John Boy.
Yeah, see? Good night, Mary Ellen. See? That's my... So I updated my catchphrases. I told her to up her nose through a rubber hose and to kiss my grits.
Did Buddy from Family have a catchphrase? Christy McNichol?
it was some junior dyke thing. Yeah. I don't know. All right. Kids, all right, so we were speaking this hour about unprecedented disrespect to this president. Is it our imagination? Thoughts? Rudy Giuliani, do we have this?
Yeah.
He gave a speech where he was mock-punching Obama's crotch.
Yep.
Much to the glee of this Brooklyn GOP crowd.
I think it was an unbelievable shot right in the... And in Brooklyn, I can say it, but I'm not sure I can say it on a microphone. It was a shot right in the... Boom! Wow! For 6 days, Obama was talking with a higher voice.
That's funny. That's funny. It's a joke about... they were talking about winning back Anthony Weiner's seat.
Yep.
That was out. But he said... But he made the motion of punching the president in the crotch, and then that was him doing a hilarious high voice what the president would be having if he were punched in the...
Yeah.
So that happened.
If you attempted that, the Secret Service would do a lot more than punch you.
Yeah.
You'd have holes in you.
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit. Jim and Madison, you're on the step. You know what they'd say? Now you just can't leave.
Hey, good morning.
I'm on sale.
Jim and Madison. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Hi. I was hoping that next time you have one of your reporters at a Romney event, that maybe someone would like to ask Mr. Romney. You know, he talks about his involvement with saving the Salt Lake City Olympics.
Yes, with government money.
Setting aside the government bailout, doesn't that set up a bias for his family to compete in dressage, and maybe he should be disqualified for that?
That's an interesting point.
Also, if he takes a $77,000 tax deduction for the care of his horse, doesn't that expense preclude him from competition in amateur?
You would think.
One would think. Wouldn't
maybe
one?
So. Well, you know, and finally, I would like to ask him if any of his staff joined in the cheering when Chicago was eliminated from the Olympics.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. If only Jim could be my cop reporter at Romney events.
Je m'appelle Mitt Romney. Bienvenue aux Jeux Olympiques.
Ah, exactly. All right. Real quick, Mo in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mo.
Hey, Stephanie. Actually, it's Maureen, but I let everyone call me Mo.
Okay. Hey, Mo.
Yeah. I'm newly unemployed, and so I just pulled into the parking lot at the Y, so my ass doesn't get any bigger than the house that it is and as big as a barn.
We only have 20 seconds. Go. Here we go.
Okay. Hey, I want to know who those seven Dems are that are going to vote to let those not let those tax cuts expire, because I want to start a campaign to get them not reelected.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Representative Raul Grajula. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, obviously lots of discussion about the president's, I think, really bold and terrific stance on immigration. We have, and we had Ron Barber on not too long ago.
That's right.
We're very, very excited. Lots of exciting things going on in Arizona. Ron Barber just won Gabby Gifford's old seat to talk to us about all of that. Representative Raul Grajula of the great state of Arizona. Good morning, Representative.
How are you, Stephanie? Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. You know, Ron Barber, first of all, what a great guy. What a great congressman he's going to make.
He's a very good and decent person. And his victory, I think, affirms the fact that there is a bill, not only a place, but the ability for decent people who want to do the right thing to get elected, despite all the hits that he took in that campaign. He kept very positive, and the voters responded. He won by a bigger margin against Kelly than Gabby had done in the previous election, and now he's running in a district that favors Democrats more than the previous one. So, you know, I think his ability to retain the seat after defeating Kelly and the Tea Party has just been enhanced for the general election.
Congressman, I was just going to say, I've been there, you know, doing sexy liberal shows in Tucson and Phoenix, and I got to tell you, there's an awful lot of people I've talked to that are glad to be, you know, reclaiming part of Arizona from this Tea Party craziness, because, as you know, Arizona's gotten this reputation for this extremism, hasn't it?
Yeah, and well-deserved. You know, we've been a petri dish for every wingnut proposition, everything that Alec wanted to experiment in terms of legislation at the state level. Arizona's been experimentation area.
Right.
And everything from 1070, which we're going to hear from the Supreme Court, to birther, to guns in schools, to restricting women's rights. I mean, name it, and it's passed that legislature.
Representative Grajula, I heard your colleague Jan Schakowsky on my friend Bill Press's show this morning, and she was saying she thinks we're going to get good news on health care at the Supreme Court and bad news on the Arizona immigration law. Well, what's your take?
I hope she's right about health care, and I hope that she's wrong about the 1070. But
yeah.
I was at the hearing, and as I told people, I came in apprehensive to the hearing on 1070 at the Supreme Court, and I left even more so based on the questions that Robert Scalia were asking of the Solicitor General. I just felt that, you know, the central core part of it, which is the profiling part, will I hope is not retained, but that seemed to be where the questions were going, and if that's retained, then the core of the law is retained.
Representative, speaking of curious things from Arizona, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, explain this to me. So yesterday he arrested a six-year-old undocumented immigrant on the same day the president announces his new policy halting deportations for young undocumented immigrants. Of course, he said that was a complete coincidence. I wonder about Sheriff Arpaio is he just told a local station there this will not impact his approach toward young. He said they'll still be arrested. I mean, isn't that going? Can he do that? I guess my question.
Yeah, and the whole issue that we've had with Homeland Security during this whole time, and I think the president in a very historic and bold way clarified it, is that if you have Arpaio basically applying the law regardless as he sees it, not as it's being as a federal law being being instructed to by the executive branch and Homeland Security. Homeland Security needs to also stop cooperating at a local level and quit as he, you know, right. There's an issue. He has to turn those people over. And if the process is to quit moving forward with the deportation and the prosecution, then Arpaio can go through these meaningless exercises, which are very disruptive and hurtful to communities. But Arpaio is, he's made his cachet on picking on a group of people, and right. That's his political cachet. He's under investigation.
Right, I was just going to say, for multiple civil rights violations by the Justice Department.
Civil rights violations,
he's also
retaliation, he's settlements out of court for $1 million to a county supervisor for
using taxpayer funds to investigate the president's birth certificate. Once again, Congressman, can he do that?
Well, he seems to have been able to get away with it up in Maricopa County, and he uses the excuse that he's an elected official and therefore he can. I think that as this court case proceeds, you'll see that there has been a violation of not only civil rights law, but a serious misappropriation of federal dollars in terms of law enforcement support that have been misdirected. And I think it's more in a political machine that he has up there than in a law enforcement machine. I say that because in El Mirage, a predominantly Latino area of Phoenix, 400 sex crimes, and after 2 years, they hadn't been investigated, and this included children. And that was one of the issues that the Justice Department was looking at as well. So, you know, there is plenty of things that Arpaio has done that are going to come home to roost. It's just that it's the frustration for many of us that it's taken so long.
Congressman, obviously the president's this move is a very bold one, and you know, but what I love is people accusing him of playing politics. First of all, the last poll I saw, he was already ahead by 30-40 points over Mitt Romney among Latinos. So in that sense, he hardly had to do this. I really believe he did it because it's the right thing to do, because once again, Congress wouldn't act on the DREAM Act.
I think he had no choice. I mean, as frustrating as it might have been for some of us, I think the president made a sincere effort, Stephanie, to try to work with the other side, to try to work with Republican leadership to craft, whether it's immigration or health care or the whole economic and financial picture of this country. And at every turn, there is a rejection of any effort toward compromise or consensus. Their mantra has been to watch him fail.
And frankly, what do you make of Mitt Romney continually saying, "Oh, he had a Democratic House and Congress, and you know, House and Senate." I mean, again, it is patently untrue, and he knows it. That it was passed in the House, correct, and then filibustered in the Senate because we had two senators ill and not there. So you know, it's just so disingenuous to say the president hasn't done anything about this.
When you don't receive a single vote in that unfortunate magical number of 60 in the Senate from the Republicans, nothing's going to happen. And they knew that, and they've stonewalled this. And I find it the height of hypocrisy, even for the senator from Arizona, right after the decision by Obama, who said this is politically motivated. And these are the same individuals that tooth and nail have fought for the last 3.5 years not to allow any semblance of immigration reform to proceed in Congress. And now they're accusing it of politics.
Right. And excuse me, Representative, but Mitt Romney has earned his low numbers. He took the hardest line against immigrants in the Republican primaries, did he not? I mean,
yes. And then, you know, there's consequences to the pandering. Assuming that this is a blind constituency that's not intelligent, is not watching and reading and about these candidates, is a mistake. And Romney stepped right in it. And I don't care what magic trick Rubio was talking about or anybody else, it was not going to change the fundamental impression.
You can't take back that video clip, Representative, him saying, "Yes, I absolutely will veto the DREAM Act." And you know, so now there's a poll out saying President Obama has closed, I guess, what you'd call an earlier enthusiasm deficit with Latino voters in key battleground states. But, you know, I love this. They also polled Romney's call for illegal immigrants to self-deport. Shockingly, that's somewhat unpopular among Hispanics. I mean, again, he's the one that said all these things.
Well, the poll said that 90% of Latinos, Hispanics in the country enthusiastically supported the president and on his action on the young people, and 64% of the general American public supported it. So, you know, like I think there's buyer's remorse out there based on the last election. I think people are looking at the Tea Party as obstructionist at every level, and people are now looking. I think the president looked bold. I mean, you know, look how low the ratings are of Congress. The fact that he said, okay, you guys aren't going to do anything, I'm going to do it, I think actually helps him.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Rahul Gruhulva, always such a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for checking in with us this morning.
Not a problem. Anytime.
All right, there he goes. One of our heroes. Heroes.
Kind of mangled his name on the last one.
Shush! Why do you spotlight my mistakes?
Because that's the one you said it to him.
Instead of celebrating my triumphs, of which there are so few. Mike in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, it's a great show. I just happened to turn on Current TV and caught it for the first time.
Yahoo!
Really enjoy. But I agree very much with the congressman from Arizona. There's a certain irony in preventing someone from doing anything and then holding him responsible for the result of not having done anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like your brother pinning you down going, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? And then dripping toothpaste into your face. You know what I'm talking about.
Well.
Waterboarding with Crest. Okay. 17 minutes. I've been through it. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back. Oh, we're going to be back with Romney's, you know, supermarket scanner moment.
Oh,
God.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is rapidly approaching a spectacle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Judy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Hey, my sweet Stephanie and Moogs. How
Hello.
Are you?
Hello.
The last time I was on, I mispronounced the word plethora and said plethora.
Oh, dear. No.
Jim looked like he'd been tasered when he heard plethora. But I decided to use it as my mantra now to be the official Stephanie Miller plethora pontificator.
All right. We will not disparage you again.
Hey, you said it right this time. Excellent.
Mrs. Mittens and Meta World Peace have a lot in common, and she doesn't know this.
Oh?
Why is that?
You know, well, because Meta World was banned from 7 games from the playoffs, you know, because of an elbow incident. Poor Mrs. Mittens was so excited about her little prancing pony, Prixie, winning the last prancing pony contest.
Yes.
That she rushed down to greet her, tripped over her own feet, fell down and accidentally exposed her plethora.
Oh,
so they
dear.
Said, you're out of here for 7 prancing pony parties.
All right, Judy. Judy's cracking herself up in California.
It's kind of funny.
Because it sounds dirty, but it's not.
Prancing, say you'll get something dirty if you say prancing pony 7 times real fast. Okay. Speaking of out of touch, so this is his, remember George H.W. Bush with the, wow, look at the supermarkets. It's
look
a
at
scanner.
That. It reads the presses
it
automatically.
Reads the presses there. Don't even have to look at the sticker.
After that, not gonna that. Okay, so he
was.
That's
amazing.
Yes.
Never. Had
he
no
was,
idea.
He was ordering a sandwich at Wawa's?
Not Wawa's. It's called Wawa.
Oh, it's owned by Charlie Brown's teacher.
No. No, it's an East Coast chain of convenience stores. We don't have them here in the West. But
Well, they're not very convenient then, are they?
No, they're not convenient to us, so here are they.
But if you live on the East Coast, you don't say it's Wawa's. It's you go to Wawa. And so you're out of touch if you even
and
say Wawa's.
And what does it
Wawa's.
Sound like if Barbara Walters, if Barbara Walters orders through the drive-thru? Wawa's. Welcome to Wawa's.
Yes.
I would like a number...
Wawa doesn't sound weird to people on the East Coast, but it sounds weird to people here.
Wicked weird.
Do you have anything with raisins? All right, here's Mitt Romney.
By the way, where do you get your hoagies here? Do you get them at Wawa's? Is that what you get them? Well, I went to a place today called Wawa's. You ever been to Wawa's? Anybody been there?
Wawa.
Some people don't like. I'm sorry. I know it's a very big state divided. But we went to Wawa's. I was at Wawa's. I wanted to order a sandwich. You press a little touch tone keypad, all right? You just touch that, and you know the sandwich comes in. You touch this. Go pay the cashier. There's your sandwich. It's amazing.
I mean, I don't. Doesn't normally the help just bring you a sandwich? I mean, you touch a thing and then I don't.
I usually have illegal immigrants make my sandwiches for me. Oops.
I have someone with a lot of melanin usually just bring me a sandwich. It just magically appears. But I guess regular people have to touch things if they want, you know, chocolatey goodness.
Confections and goody
donuts.
Things.
Something.
A donut.
Oh.
Where are the nuts? I don't know.
By the way, where do you get your hoagies here? Do you get them at Wawa's? Wawa's. It's amazing. Touch this. Go pay the cashier, there's your sandwich. Wawa's.
Actually not a Wawa.
Kenny Pickett in Cleveland.
Wow. Yay. That was just you can tell it's like he was. You don't overdo it when I'm going to fill in local reference here.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys all go to
you get your hoagies?
I bet you he's going to actually say somewhere.
Hoagies at Wawa's?
He's going to actually say, hey, do you all get your cookies at fill in local reference here? What?
Oops. What? I wasn't supposed to read that.
When he desperately tries to be authentic, he just misses the mark so much.
Oh, he seems so in touch.
Oh, God.
And he still said it wrong.
Yeah.
Judy in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm a first-time caller. I love your show.
Thank you.
And I have to say, I have an old lady crush on John Fugelsang.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Isn't he a cutie? Anyway.
Or as Siri calls him, Fjangflingang.
On your talk about the racism, which absolutely appalls me but does not surprise me, also, Michelle has to put up with the double whammy of the sexism. And that's been going on forever with the old white man's party.
Yeah.
It also hit, but you were saying, you know, about how it's hitting now. It started with Hillary in the 90s with the sexism.
Well, do you think they're more sexist, racist, or homophobic this time around? It's hard to tell, isn't it?
It's almost like equal parts. They're all pretty bad. But anyway, it just frustrates me as a woman. I'm old. I grew up came of age in the 1950s and 60s, and I remember sexism as a little girl.
I mean,
at 10 years old, I knew there was something wrong with the system. And Michelle's a beautiful woman. I met her, by the way, just for 3 seconds. And it's like, I cannot believe these old white guys are still stuck.
I know. Yep. There's a lot of ifs and also isms, is what I'm saying, in this current Republican Party.
I heard.
Right. Some are ifs and some are isms. And, ias. Isn't homo. Yeah. Okay. 29 minutes. I'm sorry. I talked to Siri too much. She's the only one that'll talk to me.
Oh, bless your heart.
29 minutes after
the
hour.
But you can't get a signal and you can't talk to her. You're SOL.
Alone again, naturally. 29 minutes after the hour.
You are SOL.
Charlie Pierce next.
Stephanie Miller.
Think of her 35 years of success and millions of friends worldwide.
Don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
Lots of emailers. Thank you, Chris, for once again moving the monitor so you can better see my rack.
Yep. We get cards and letters.
We get stacks and stacks of letters.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks. Yep. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yay! It's Tuesday! There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
It's a perfect song to do circus boobs to. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Oh, all together now, children. Raul Grijalva.
Rahalva.
Rahalva.
From Lillehammer.
That's one of those that Brokaw would never stop pronouncing. somebody would have to hit him with a bottle or something to get him to
yeah,
stop.
That was his red leather, yellow leather.
That was his warm up.
I think the New York like state police have that as the official Tom Brokaw sobriety test.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Brokaw, please walk this line and pronounce the name of the Democratic representative from Arizona. I'm sorry, you'll be blowing into the balloon now.
In theater class, our warm-up speech was Bumblebee Mum, Bumblebee Mum, Bumblebee Mum. But that had to be Tom Brokaw's right before they went on the air at NBC News.
I thought given your film career, it was Oh God, Oh God, Oh God. But
yeah.
Hey!
Charlie Pierce with the tip in. Okay. Yeah, I bet you that's what you heard, Jim, minutes before NBC News went on. He'd be in his office, just, Raul.
Raul.
Mr. Brokaw.
Of course, I only knew that, of course, because I was listening to satellite radio in my car, since you are no longer available in Boston.
Don't even talk to me.
That's wicked retarded.
Yeah, I'll say. Okay.
But we're still available on Current and on SiriusXM radio in Boston.
The worst move in radio since somebody looked there out and said, you know, that Hannity kid's got promise.
Charlie Pierce, your stuff's so good this week on Esquire.com that I have been quoting it already, haven't I, Chris?
Yes, incessantly.
I'm like, you guys, guess what Charlie Pierce said?
Very good, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. So, first of all, I love the Queen Anne.
Your paltry salary will be in the mail.
I love the Queen Anne piece. Remember all those stories about how Ann Romney was Willard's secret weapon in his campaign to gull the help into assisting him in his quest to be president? Well, they were a crock, as is almost daily demonstrated. She's as much of a walking parody as he is. And I think you may be right about that.
Well, that was just a terrific interview. That was where she was excoriating the president for, not excoriating, but being a little snarky about the president going overseas to vacation.
Yes.
Are they ever
going
to come to grips with the fact that, like, he grew up in Hawaii, and Hawaii is over a sea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not an entire sea, but some of it.
Yeah, but she said she doubted she and her husband would vacation overseas as frequently as the Obamas. And so I guess she's referring, first of all, to Michelle Obama went to Spain and had lunched with the king and the queen.
Yeah, apparently a vacation.
Yes, which is, and you, as you said, suddenly visit with heads of state qualifies vacation time when taken by this particular first lady.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Call on me. Hello. I know.
Oh, yes, Charlie Pierce.
No, but, yeah, and also, of course, she said that they have homes to vacation in.
Yeah, that was, I love this. The real reveal paragraph you say is not only the Romney money's allowed to vacation, only their money's allowed to vacation overseas. Good one. Yay, it's a Switzerland joke. And then, of course, it gets worse. Ann Romney didn't rule out vacationing at all, noting the Romney family, quote, has their own places for that.
Of course they do. Good heavens!
All three of them, including the one in California where Mitt like goes down and chases the stone guys off the beach.
Yeah. Stoners, yeah.
Get off my lawn, you damn kids!
Get off my lawn, you stoners!
I mean, do you think at least one of the stoners has looked up and said, "Well, man, I'm not doing this anymore because there's a really funny looking white guy chasing me down the beach in a pair of black socks."
Wow, looks like human clip art.
Wow. Once again, you gave good advice. You said to the Romneys, "Why don't they just drop the pretense and move to Versailles?"
Yeah, I don't think it's any question. Sure, it's up for grabs. Sure, it's up for sale at this point.
Zuma Pam Lint Romney. Bienvenue à ma maison de vacances.
Here's what I quoted you is talking about John Yoo, the well-known author of the torture memo, saying what a egregious violation of the rule of law and the Constitution the president's illegal immigration stand is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of a sudden executive overreach has a new enemy, and his name is John Yoo.
Wow.
And here's what I think it could be my favorite sentence in Charlie Pierce's piece this week. It was a bad day for Will Romney on Face the Nation. He was unquestionably Sunday's chewiest cluster of...
Well, I mean, if you watch the interview with Bob Schieffer, who, you know, is a veteran newsman, I have a lot of respect for the number of years he's put in, but, you know, he's not Oriana Fallaci.
Right.
And he kept trying to get Romney to say, would you repeal the executive order, yes or no?
Yeah.
And he got this incredible, you know, to paraphrase Mel Brooks, this incredible passel of, you know, authentic WASP gibberish in return.
Right, and you did us the favor of actually printing his entire response, which was really...
Well, three of them, actually.
Yes.
But, yeah.
And it, as you say, smoke was seen coming from every opening in Romney's head. There was a nasty sound of grinding gears, and small springs were seen flying from his head.
They've gotten, as tennis coaches say, they've gotten completely wrong-footed on this one.
Yes.
They don't know what they're doing. In fact, we have an interview up on the site today that I did yesterday with Marco Rubio. Marco!
Rubio!
There you go. Thank you. Where he tries to, I'm basically trying to get him to say, look, I'm perfectly willing to give you credit for good faith in trying to do something on immigration, but, like, isn't what you wanted to do exactly what the president just did?
Yes.
And, he retreats into the, well, he's acting beyond the Constitution and, you know, didn't consult with the Congress as though the Congress was doing anything
with
him.
Well, he looks particularly ridiculous on this because we have all that, video goodness from the Republican primary where he said absolutely unequivocally, I'll veto the DREAM Act. They should self-deport. And it just, there's no getting back from this. When, as you say, Bill Kristol, the evangelical leader, is saying he should just applaud the president and agree.
I mean, the leader in the congressional caucus on immigration issues is not Senator Marco Rubio. It's Representative Steve King from Iowa, who's a nut.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Who the squirrels are going to bury that guy some winter, and nobody's ever going to see him again. But he's the leader of the party. That's where the party is on immigration.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do it. Romney's can't walk that back. And again, in this interview I did with Senator Rubio yesterday, I tried to get him to say, aren't you a little bit alarmed that your party's position on this has been staked out where it is by people like Steve King? And then he gave me a both sides do it kind of answer. And I asked him specifically which Democratic politician has called him a racist. And he said, well, no, the president of Univision did. And he's a big Democratic donor. So we're back in the, what's her name? Hillary Rosen is the real leader of the liberal wing of everything.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Kind of thing. But he sucked because he's a very talented guy and he wants to have a future in Republican politics. And he knows that, they've essentially frittered away this demographic for the next 20 years.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. By the way, thank
how
you
hard
for...
would it have been? Well, how many votes would Romney have lost, since he's already got the nomination, if he'd just come out Friday and said, look, we need a really strong policy on this. I appreciate the joy that I see in the faces of the kids given the president's order. I don't like the way he did it, but it is a stopgap, but it's a gap we need to stop. How would that have hurt him?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know that it would have.
No, he looks so ridiculous on this, just trying to be against anything the president is for, that you're absolutely right. By the way, thank you for the catch on just because of the fact Bill Kristol was right on this, that the president was correct. Let's not forget how very, very wrong he is on nearly everything else. And you said, Sunday, we're reaching the time of consequence and are dealing with Iran on nuclear weapons. Time for the president to go to the Congress and say, I want you to authorize me to be able to use military force if that becomes necessary. And he says that the president's not willing to do that, then Congress should do it themselves. And then you say, honest to Bill Kristol belongs in a cage.
I love you, Charlie Pierce.
The readiness with which he's willing to spill the blood of other people's children has really gotten inhumane at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even find him funny anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, what's Congress going to do? Dispatch the army? It can't do that.
Yep. And Charlie, we were just doing this story earlier about this, Obama outhouse at the Republican, Montana convention, among other just, blatantly racist stuff. And you point this out, a bunch of, the stuff that happened on the Sunday shows. But you say, God knows, an incumbent president doing things that might help him stay president is just damn unprecedented in American politics. Why don't they just say uppity and get it over with?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So what if what the president did last Friday is political?
Yeah.
It's decent policy. And he's a president who wants to stay president. You know, knock me over with a feather.
Well, and he's already ahead.
And he's liable to take actions that help him stay president.
And he's already 1,000 points ahead with Latinos anyway. I mean, I think it's just because it's because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
You can only sell 100% of anything, Stephanie.
Yes. Well, my point is, it's the right thing to do. And he was
Raul Grijalva.
And Mary Kay Turnow. Lover.
Billy.
Lola Falana.
Not Lola Falana.
Anyway.
Lola Falana, now there's a name.
Okay. Okay, I lied about that other thing I said was my favorite thing from your column this week.
Oh, what was that?
Okay, this is it. Drifting a few feet above the rest of the panel on a cloud made up of sweet memories and old Chardonnay, Peggy Noonan.
Oh, that's her.
The magic dolphin lady spun her usual witchcraft.
Yeah, she wants Mitt to become more graspable.
Yes. What does that mean? She wants him to be even less coherent.
I don't even want to guess.
Maybe she wants to grasp him.
Oh God, I love you so much in an unholy way, Charlie Pierce.
Maybe there's a Willard she wants to hang out there. She wants to hang on to.
Yeah. I don't know. And then you commented on the same thing I did earlier, that he doesn't consider Romney saying he doesn't consider himself a politician because he's a businessman. And you say Romney's been nothing but a politician since the moment he closed down the Olympics. He's been running for president for seven damn years.
Yeah, I thought
since the beginning of time, but I'm bad at math.
He was governor of Massachusetts for 4 years, and he essentially quit that job 2 years in to start running for president. He's been running for president ever since about 2005.
Oh, Chris, you know what we have to do for fun when we come back? We need to play that pious baloney Newt Gingrich soundbite, because that was a thing of beauty, wasn't it? Can we cut the pious baloney already? I mean,
he needs to cut the pious baloney because he needs a slice because he's hungry.
Exactly.
See, Mitt was, by the way, Newt was the guy that Mitt dispatched out to Montana to the Obama Outhouse Convention.
Interesting.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what I was saying, is this is not some lunatic fringe thing. This is a convention where Newt Gingrich is speaking, which...
This is a state party, okay? State party officials can go out there and say, please move this racist piece of swill off our front lawn because you're making us look like jackasses in front of the world. The only reason they didn't do that was because they wanted it there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to come back and tell you more details about that. Charlie Pierce, you are a god.
Goodbye, Raul.
Raul.
Farewell to you.
Farewell.
All right, there he goes. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com. It's 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I got an email from Lana in Portland.
Yes.
She and her boyfriend.
Lana in Portland.
She and her boyfriend are having a fight as to what is on my shirt.
What is on your shirt?
Yes, Lana, you are right. They are Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But knock your block off.
But you knock my block off.
But they're wearing Devo hats.
Right. They also look vaguely Mayan.
That's weird.
I think it's the Devo hats that make them look Mayan. Yeah.
Okay.
Rock'em Sock'em Mayans.
Thank you for joining another edition of That's So Random.
I know, right?
Gail in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Can I be your official angry progressive Democrat?
Yes, damn it.
Yes.
Okay, the reason I'm calling is, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a radio show host in Arizona. Her name is Barbara Espinosa.
We played that bit yesterday.
Played it yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, called the president a monkey. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. It's terrible.
I'm sure that won't be perceived as vague as at all racist. They'll probably deny that in some way, right?
Anyway, I think it's time we start boycotting these racists. I mean, we need to find out who the sponsors are and boycott until this racist old bat is gone. I think people need to stand up in Arizona and denounce this woman.
Yeah.
And if they don't, we boycott the whole state.
Gail, you know what? You're right. That's the more egregious thing. Not just that she said it, but did you hear anything about it, Harley? I mean, it's come to be expected, I guess, in right-wing radio. That's the new, I mean, this story we were talking about, Birthers Erect Obama Outhouse and Montana Republican Convention. Again, this wasn't some sort of, you know.
This wasn't a meeting somewhere. This was the state convention.
As Charlie Pierce just said, the Republican state chairman could have said, get rid of this thing. Mm-hmm. A shotgun, an outhouse, and a birth certificate stamp, all made appearances at the Montana GOP convention over the weekend. At the Saturday convention in Missoula, a few convention goers set up outside with an outhouse labeled Obama's Presidential Library. Ha ha ha, and it's an outhouse. And the really funny part, it's decorated, it was painted to look as though it had been riddled by bullets, Jim.
Yeah, great.
Graffiti on the inside also said, for a good time, call 1-800-MICHELLE, crossed out, Hillary crossed out, and then Pelosi circled in red. That's a joke about.
Oh my
They're
God!
They're all whores, you see. It's hilarious.
No, not a single one of them is happily married.
B. Wright, is that your actual name in Atlanta?
Yes, it is.
B. Wright. Are you going to be right? I don't think so for some reason.
Right. Well, you'll understand after the call.
All right.
Okay. I don't have a problem with the reporter in the Rose Garden.
Of course you don't.
And so just I agree with him trying to have dialogue and trying to get to
in the middle of a president giving a statement.
Well, he thought it was at the end, but
he did not.
It was in the middle of a sentence. Be right.
I'm contributing $100 to Alan West.
Awesome.
God, that's money down the drain.
If I disagree with Barack Hussein.
Oh, I see. You're giving money to Alan West, so you can't possibly be racist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving money to Alan West.
Okay.
So I'm not a racist.
Okay.
I never agree with Barack Hussein Obama.
Why?
Thank you for helping. Why is that?
Why? Because I don't believe in his policies.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his policies are failed. I think Obamacare is going to be a disaster for this country, too.
It's already helped millions of people.
Millions of people?
Yes, it has.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What has it done to Medicare?
What has it done to Medicare? We already have Medicare.
Yeah, we have Medicare.
I don't think it's done it yet, but what is it going to do to
Medicare? It's closed the donut hole for people like my mom.
It's going to take $500 billion out of Medicare.
No, it's not.
Does that mean
that's a lie. Be right, that's a lie.
Be right, you be wrong. We've just named you Be Wrong.
It's going to take $500 billion out of Medicare, and it's going to kill people because of the death panels.
Thank you for helpfully including the president's middle name. That was not a tip-off in any way.
Hussein Obama.
Okay.
Who's a communist, Nazi, liberal.
Atheist
Muslim.
We found the Newt Gingrich from the Republican primary.
Yeah.
Because you just can't say it better. Because now the new talking point that Mitt Romney has is, well, I'm not a politician. I don't really care about politics. I'm a businessman. Uh-huh. I just want to get this country right. Okay.
Can we drop a little bit of the pious baloney? The fact is, you ran in 94 and lost. That's why you weren't serving the Senate with Rick Santorum. The fact is, you had a very bad reelection rating. You dropped out of office. You had been out of state for something like 200 days preparing to run for president. You've been running consistently for years and years and years. So this idea that suddenly citizenship showed up in your mind, just level with the American people. You've been running for at least since the 1990s.
The best thing Newt Gingrich has ever said.
It's your birthday.
If you've got a pious bologna sandwich sitting around, I'm feeling kind of peckish, frankly.
He's always feeling peckish.
He's awesome.
Always got some food in his maw.
That does look like a maw. I'm sorry, that is not a mouth.
That's not a mouth, it's a maw.
Gaping maw.
I bet. How much plankton a day do you think he eats? Inadvertently.
He's like those Sesame Street characters when the phone rang. You know what I'm talking
about. He's a baleen whale.
You made a reference, I have no idea.
Okay. People out there know what I'm talking about.
I don't have children. Frank and Phoenix.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, what people haven't pointed out is all the president's done with this order is show the leadership the conservatives say he lacks.
Yep.
It's well documented. This administration has deported a record number of illegal aliens. That's not even in question. So what he's told Homeland Security and related agencies is to make the wisest use of your budget, deport the people who are causing the most problems, the criminals. So if conservatives want to deport more people, then how about Congress should expand the budget, hire more government workers, and then enforce the laws?
Yep. And you know what? You know who made the point, I thought? Again, Newt Gingrich made that point best yesterday. You know what? Richard Land, evangelical leader, I thought made the point best. He said it's not amnesty because they haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah,
right.
These kids didn't, you know, this is through no fault of their own. Many of them came here as infants.
Yeah, but
right?
They're 16. They can tell their parents. With what they want to do.
All right.
Thanks, Ferent Hold.
Captain Hee-Haw, whatever.
Oh, by the way, I tweeted that picture of him in the pajamas.
Uh-huh. Picture of the unfortunate congressman
like
from Ferent Texas.
Hold in his pajamas.
The stripper.
The toothless congressman from Texas.
Look for that in my feed.
And I'm not saying that as a pejorative. He is, in fact,
he's got a huge
gap.
You could fit Alfred E. Newman in that gap.
Yes, and could, in fact, fit all of Alfred E. Newman.
And Madonna.
Yes. Right. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, we have Representative Robert Andrews and the plaintiffs in the Prop 8 case coming up after the top of the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour. Okay, now I get it.
Yes.
He had to show me the Sesame Street characters with the giant gaping maws like Newt Gingrich.
They're called yup yups. Okay. And when the phone would ring, they go yup yup yup. I don't know if the Kern can see that on there. But.
Now you just can't leave. All right, we're just like random references.
I know.
But
I
did
know.
They say, frankly,
frankly. We have to do like 17 things during the commercial break, so I had to run to the bathroom. Like a water buffalo, I was running, like, and so Rebecca and everybody else out there were, like, turned, and I was thinking of that scene from, did you ever see, where was Madeline Kahn play the first lady? Do you know what I mean? What's his name? Bob Newhart, that's it, played the president. Anyway, but there's a scene where
First Family was the movie.
Yes, and Gilda Radner played the daughter. God. Hilarious.
Oh, yes, wow.
Hilarious. Anyway, but there's a scene where he's waiting for her in the presidential limo, and she's running to the White House, and she sounds like a water buffalo. And you just hear her going, ah! I'm coming! And then she trips and falls in the limo. She trips down the stairs and she goes, okay, nobody help me, I'm fine.
Wow.
I just love Madeline Kahn.
I do too.
Yeah.
You knocked the memory of that movie loose.
No, yes. Could you all please step on the same foot at the same time? My falling off. All right, that's History of the World. That's a different movie.
Yes,
I'm just going to mash them all in together. All right.
Not the hair, not the face.
Okay, Sexy Liberal, speaking of comedy, Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, ladies and gentlemen, they filmed the documentaries for the documentary at my house yesterday.
Oh, how'd that shoot go?
Oh, you got to see Max and Fred on camera? The handsome romantic dogs.
Was Daisy there?
Yes, Daisy the smoking hot hair and makeup girl, Jim.
Mm.
Okay, and Max and Fred, who are also handsome. Okay. Okay, and yeah, we had a grand time. That will be airing on the current television network, of whom I'm a huge fan.
Makeup girls tend to be smoking hot, in my experience.
Yeah, you're right.
Cha, what? Okay, so we've got the tickets going fast, almost gone for Los Angeles coming up in July, Columbus in August, and then September. Also.
After sold-out performances in 2011, the Emerald City is about to experience a new dose of hilarity in 2012.
Welcome back, Seattle.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour returns to Seattle.
No, I've never been the kind of Glenn for that sort of self-congratulatory hoopla.
September 29th, 2012, Seattle welcomes the return of Stephanie Miller.
The greatest radio talk show host ever.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks, this time to the plush and historic Paramount Theater, which has hosted live performances by Ella Fitzgerald and the Marx Brothers. Welcome Stephanie Miller.
I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
And her special brand of sexy liberal comedy. Tickets are available by calling 1-877-STG-4TIX. That's 1-877-784-4849. Saturday, September 29th at 8 p.m.
What a festive day this is.
The Sexy Liberal Show at the historic Paramount Theater in Seattle.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Good night. All right. Wow, Roland sent some sexy liberal fun facts for the filming of the documentary yesterday.
Oh?
I'm exhausted just reading it. 28 markets played to date. Already seen by over 30,000 people. Highest grossing political comedy tour ever. I'm exhausted just reading all this. The hell was I thinking
Not
of?
Not even Von Mita.
No.
Was successful.
Exactly.
I believe the fault lies with the salad, the dressing being used on the salad.
Thank you, Jim. And
that's kind of a dated reference, too.
Thanks to the Supreme Court, I'll be flying on a new airline.
At Citizens United Airlines, we've flown hundreds of millions of dollars to thousands of destinations all across America. Citizens United is the airline that's all first class with no riffraff. Our flagship, the Spirit of Congress, has 535 first class seats that we fill just the way we like. And remember, you can fly Citizens United anonymously. Citizens United Airlines, rededicated to giving you the shaft we think you deserve. Come fly the unfriendly skies.
Rocky Mountain Mike. Hooray. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Terry in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ter. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm fine. Please forgive me because I am a little nervous. This is the first time I've ever talked on radio.
Oh, wow. Don't be nervous. Go ahead.
I don't know if my subject is the subject of the day, but it has to do with Paul Ryan's budget.
Mm-hmm.
And Ann Romney's horse.
Uh-oh. Yes. Yes. And the what is it, a $77,000 deduction they're
tax
taking?
Tax deduction, yes.
Yeah.
Your taxpayer money is going to pay for that.
I'm not talking about the deductions. I'm talking about the million-dollar horse.
Itself.
But yeah. What I'm really talking about is I'm a voice of the 1% of the people that are now living below the poverty level.
Mm.
I live on $20,000 a year.
Mm.
I'm a 30-year retiree from the Texas prison system where I worked in an all-male prison.
Mm.
I make a pot of coffee on Monday. I know that pot of coffee has to last me till Wednesday. But I'm just what I'm wondering about, do the people really understand what is in Paul Ryan's budget and what it will do to the people like me that live below the poverty level and some of the middle class.
Terry, that is you make a really, really good point that, you know, when we make jokes about stuff like this, but that's the most people's reality. Chris, we could Google what the average income is of an American.
40-something thousand.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, Terry, first of all, how is that a write-off? How is it having a dressage horse a write-off?
I don't know anything about the wealthy. I don't claim to. I just know that if Mitt Romney is elected, senior citizens and their Social Security and their Medicare is going to be slashed by a third.
I
think about the college students that have graduated this year with such massive debt.
I
wonder. I don't wonder. I know none of Mitt Romney's sons graduated with any kind of debt.
Yeah, well, didn't he give them an inheritance already before
he did.
Yeah. Terry, great call. You did great for your first time. That was very compelling. That, you know, it's hard. We can all talk about policy all day long, pundits, but you know, you're a real person that these real policies are going to affect. So thank you for that.
And they're also planning on getting rid of Pell Grants. So that's another subject that hits
investing in America.
I know. Terry, thank you. Thank you so much. All right.
How many people would it be that they sold one of their horses?
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, that's the kind of, like, you know, stuff that puts things in perspective that, you know, we can make jokes, but you just go, what?
That tax deduction alone would allow two families to live okay.
Yeah. And again, this is where we go back to the Hillary Rosen comment. That no one is disparaging mothers of any kind.
No.
Her point was exactly right, that the Ann Romneys of the world, not just Ann Romney, but anyone in that kind of stratosphere, they have no idea what most people's lives are like.
Is it a business deduction?
Raising kids for Ann Romney is, I'm sorry, it is not the same as I'm sure it was for our last caller in Texas.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's entirely, it really is like two different worlds to.
Yeah, I didn't know you could take tax deductions for hobbies or whatever that is.
Yeah, exactly. Why is that a write-off?
He's been claiming that it's a medical issue because
it's therapeutic
MS.
For Anne or something. But she doesn't get on the horse. She writes the friggin' checks.
No, I think she does ride, but I don't.
She doesn't ride in the dressage contests.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying, she does ride. I don't know. That's not the point. No. You're right. It's just how you get a deduction for that.
I don't know.
All right. Tony in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, girl. I was just calling today with a Black History Fact.
Oh, Black History
today,
Fun Facts. Thank you.
Yes. It's today, June 19th, is the celebration of the end of slavery, which
Juneteenth.
Was 2.5 years. Right, Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Which Texas, to show you how late they are, it didn't get to Texas till June 19th, 2.5 years later. So we were free in January 1863. He got to Texas June 19th. 1865.
Yeah.
So here we go. That's Texas for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I just wanted you to know that. And also I wanted to make a comment about Adidas shoe. They made a tennis shoe with a chain around the ankle.
Yes.
Did you see that?
The slavery. What are they calling it? The something?
I don't know.
Slavery sneaker?
Girl, if anybody buys that shoe, I'm going to hit them upside the head myself.
With a shoe.
I cannot believe. You know, like I said, now we need to free ourselves from some of this mental slavery.
Okay? You can break a sneakerless foot off and they're behind.
Okay.
Think. All right.
There we go.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
I love you, Tony. Oh, my God.
She's my girl.
Yeah.
I love her. Almost as much as I love Art.
Who's the caller? Who's on my tree? Why in Chicago is Art my pet peeve?
Oh, hi, Art. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God bless you. Hey, long time no call. Listen,
yes.
I was studying to be a fortune teller. And guess what?
Mm.
I came up with, if we agree like Obama, we're going to be the same as Greece, Spain, and France.
Oh.
They're wishing they'd have rich people.
Oh, you
why
mean
are
like
you
we're
so
gonna,
against rich people?
We're going to enact austerity measures that will make the economy worse? Is that what you mean?
Oh, worse?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly what's happening.
You can't make it any worse.
No, that's what happened. They enacted austerity measures and they made things a lot worse.
That's
why the socialists won in France.
Hey, can I talk?
Well,
okay, it's your station.
Do you have a jingle, Jim? No, you don't.
It's your station, sweetheart, not mine.
That's right. Go ahead,
okay,
Art.
I just want to say one thing, okay? He passed this thing about the kids being an amnesty for the young. Do you know there's a 30% rate of unemployment with the young black people here in Illinois?
How can you have amnesty when you didn't do anything wrong? Did these kids break the law? They didn't break the law.
Well, why did they break the law? Who are we talking about?
You're saying it's amnesty. How can you give amnesty to people that
illegal.
Do anything wrong?
My father came over when he was legal. See, you forget that adjective, illegal.
Okay.
They did an illegal
How do you have act. A choice when you're a child?
That's they're still illegal.
Right, but
parents.
But they did nothing wrong.
Well, hell, they didn't. They're illegal.
They were brought here. They did nothing wrong.
They were illegally brought here.
They should have killed their parents and stayed.
Yes. Okay.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
So the Menendez brothers
don't
are.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Well,
sir.
What is your solution to that, Art? What is your solution to that?
The parents should be either deported or in jail.
So you want to separate the families?
That's right.
We should put all
of
the illegal immigrants in America
illegal.
In jail?
My father came here legally.
In jail?
He came here legally.
From where?
From Italy.
Okay.
And all the people that came from the early 1900s, they came here for a job looking for work.
So you want
I'm going to Italy next week actually.
Hey, look up San Benedetto.
Oh, let me write that down. Yeah, I'm going to delve into your gene pool.
Wow. I'm sorry.
You want to separate families. Cruel,
Art.
How many illegals are here, do you think?
What if my grandfather, instead of my father, came over and he brought my father over illegally? My father would have been illegal, mm-hmm. and I would have been illegal. Mm-hmm. I am a legal citizen.
And how would you like
father.
It if you would have been separated from your father?
They
forcefully
were.
By the government.
They were separated, sir.
Forcefully by the government?
At Ellis Island. They were checking everybody out like they were supposed to.
Okay, Art.
And their subprimes were broken up.
Art, do you think it's a workable plan to imprison everyone that is here illegally?
No, send them back.
Send them back. Okay.
Who's going to pay for that?
Right,
who's going to pay for that?
We're out of time.
Okay.
19,
yeah.
As much as I'd like to.
Your show, young lady.
Well,
according to the Indians, we're all here illegally.
All
so
right.
There's that.
So I'll get out. Okay.
So that happened.
Send them all back.
I miss Art. Okay. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
it is.
Oh, my God.
The thing we spend the majority
Don't
of our time
like
on
my brother.
In Los Angeles. Discussing which way to go.
Yeah.
No, not Cahuenga.
No, then you'll hit the Hollywood Bowl traffic on the highland.
Take Highland.
What do you
no,
do?
Cahuenga, you're... you idiot. All right.
You take Cahuenga down past the bowl. To...
I'll ask Siri.
California
what do you mean by Cahuenga? Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, Mittens on the Romney bus tour.
Oh, boy.
This is the time that counts upon America. And for us to have a strong military and have a strong economy and strong families, we're going to have to have a president who understands the values and the principles that made America strong.
What?
I do. I will. We will restore America's greatness. America's greatest days are ahead. We're the shining city on a hill.
Oh, my God. Slogan.
Oh my God. It's like Reagan vomited. And
yes,
then he
exactly.
tried to scrape it. He put orange powder on it and then scraped it up.
And ate
and
it.
And tried to reserve
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then
here,
vomited
here
it up again.
Just play the very first part of that again. Did this make any sense?
None of it.
This is the time that counts upon America.
Huh?
This is the time that counts upon America.
Oh, my God. It was like he put Abraham Lincoln and Reagan in a blender and...
and vomited it into it.
Put some raw eggs like in Rocky, and then he... Oh!
I just think I'm going to burst.
4 score, and there I go again. What? Huh? What?
That was like a little presidential kind of...
mashup.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's what happens when Romney goes off teleprompter.
This is the time counts America, too, also, we have.
It was like a presidential Scrabble board exploded, and he just...
Or, you know, that magnetic word poetry that
right.
you... Yeah, he just threw it at the refrigerator, and he read what came out.
This is the place, shining
4 score
hill city.
7
4
shining cities
score.
On a hill.
Yeah.
What? Okay, I got to hear that again now.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1865.
A day that shall live in ask not what your country can what?
This is the time that counts upon America. And for us to have a strong military
what?
And have a strong economy and strong families, we're
going
to have a president who understands the values and the principles that made America strong. I do. I will. We will restore America's greatness. America's greatest days are ahead.
I do.
We're the shining city on a hill.
Wow. That was just...
Oh, that was graspy. That was so...
That made Sarah Palin seem coherent.
Well, yeah. Brokehammer
and... little presidential papaya, like a paella, I mean. Excuse me. Not papaya. Paella. I was trying to think of like a... what's a thing of a mix of a lot of things?
Yeah, paella.
Presidential it's paella.
It was presidential 7-layer dip.
Yes.
Right.
And
go
he's
ahead,
the
I'm
dip
sorry.
In chief.
No, Brokehammer.
He wants to be.
Brokehammer in the chat room says, when did Sarah Palin become his speechwriter?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wait, I'd like
this
some more, please.
This is the time count America on we.
I am predicting victory, but I know it's a little early to make predictions like that, but Wisconsin is very strong.
No?
People here have seen the results of a governor who's held down spending, and they like the fact that taxes are lower. At the same time, their schools are doing very well, and employment is doing better here in Wisconsin. So there is a way to get the private sector working, not just the governmental sector.
Oh, yes. He just had to spend how many millions of dollars to keep his job after a year?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's a resounding yes. Scott Walker's unvictory. Okay. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Robert Andrews and much more as we continue. Whew, we even have more from the bus tour.
Oh, God.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Please keep your voices down.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a little hungover.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Tuesday.
The phone number toll free from anywhere. Obviously awaiting the Supreme Court decision on the Affordable Care Act. Representative Robert Andrews, of course, has been a health care warrior. He joins us now. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'll try to keep my voice down.
Appreciate it. So, you know, you're somebody that's been working long and hard on health care, obviously. It seems like we're all over the place about what people are thinking. I know there's conservative activists worried it's going to be upheld. Nancy Pelosi says she thinks it's going to be 6-3 upheld. A lot of other people very nervous that it will not be. Where are you on that?
I really have no idea. I mean, the Supreme Court is inscrutable.
Yeah.
And there's other adjectives I could use as well, but let's hear a decision first. But, you know, they're, by nature, they're a secretive group, and anybody who claims to be able to predict based on the oral argument what's going to happen, I think, is probably just guessing. So, look, I know this law is constitutional, and a truly conservative decision that recognizes the primacy of the legislative branch, duly elected, and the president, duly elected, to make this decision will uphold the law. If this is truly a conservative court, the law will be upheld.
You know, I thought I was reading a constitutional law professor. I thought summed it up perfectly in one quote. He said, if five justices appointed by Republicans overturn the signature legislative accomplishment of this Democratic president, the public is likely to see it as judicial activism.
Gee, do you think so?
Just think?
Yeah.
In non-legalese?
Yeah, the legal technicality here is this, that who has the authority to interpret the scope of the so-called Commerce Clause? And we have decisions really going back now for 80 years to the New Deal that say that when the Congress makes a decision that something would benefit the interstate commerce, that would benefit the growth of the nation's economy, the Congress is given very, very broad deference as to what it may do. Now, if you can disagree with what we do politically, that's why we have elections. But to say that there's something unconstitutional about this is really a stretch, and a truly conservative court, as I said, will uphold this law.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was reading some more analysis earlier that, speaking specifically about Scalia, that, you know, in many law professors' opinions, he's been strictly political. He seems, in terms of the Commerce Clause or anything else, he tends to interpret, depending on what stuff he likes or not, you know, legally.
I sometimes like to think of him not as a justice, but as the Electoral College, since he single-handedly put George W. Bush in over Al Gore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just stunning. That decision is stunning. Looking, you know, because Justice Scalia, who purports to be a states' rights advocate, made a decision in the Bush versus Gore case, it was the pivotal decision, the pivotal vote, that essentially said that Florida doesn't have the right to decide its own procedure to conduct a recount for a presidential election. Well, in other words, a state can be overridden by some newly invented equal protection right of a candidate. Let me tell you this. If the shoe had been on the other foot, if a conservative candidate was asking for the recount, if a liberal candidate, you understand.
Right, yeah,
right,
exactly.
On the other, but there's no way he would have come out where he did.
I'm sorry, the only thing I could hear right now is the sound of Al Gore turning off his own channel.
that may happen, but Al Gore, to his enormous credit, lived by the decision, never questioned the integrity of the Supreme Court, and, you know, was very fair-minded about this. But it's a ridiculous decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully we will not have a repeat of it here.
Representative, I had heard your colleague Jen Schakowsky earlier say she thinks that it's going to be upheld. But, you know, she was also saying that even if they strike just the mandate, she still thinks it's workable to move forward. I think she was making the point that Medicare doesn't have a mandate. But that there's a way, you know, but if you wait too long, it costs you more or whatever, that there is.
I don't want to speculate what we would do if this happens or that happens. Suffice it to say this. We are thoroughly committed to first-rate health care for every American. And irrespective of the decision, we're going to make sure that happens. And, you know, Theodore Roosevelt was the first president to try to do a law that would give every American first-rate health care. And it didn't happen for over 100 years. And, you know, for 100 years we fought for it. If we have to fight for it for 100 days or 100 weeks, we will, and we will win.
Right.
This is something that America needs and supports, and we're going to make sure it happens.
Representative, in the short term, though, the administration says rejecting the mandate and keeping the pre-existing condition would you know, create a death spiral in which only patients with costly health issues would obtain insurance. It would lead
that
to higher premiums, you know, which would prompt, you know, policy owners to drop coverage, causing rating increases. I mean, you know, this is why this was so carefully constructed. I was reading a comment from one of these conservative, you know, this conservative gathering they just had, and they said they hope the A, health care is struck down, and then they said B, but the status quo is unworkable, and you need to have something where people are held accountable. I thought you're describing affordable care with a mandate.
Here's the way to understand the substance of this individual mandate question. The guy who lives across the street from you is 25 years old, and he's a website designer. and he makes really good money. He's doing fine. He thinks he's going to live forever, so he doesn't buy a health insurance policy. He buys a motorcycle. He goes out on the weekend and unfortunately has a motorcycle accident. He's taken to the emergency room and can't pay his bill. Who should pay his bill? You or him? That's what this is about.
Yeah.
And the law says he should, that if he wants to use the emergency room, as he has a right to do under federal law, then he has to pay his fair share of the responsibility for that. So really, this is the ultimate welfare program for people of all incomes, that if you feel like opting out of paying for health insurance but use the ER anyway, your neighbors pay for you.
Yep.
I would think that true conservatives would not want that.
Yep, yep.
I would think they wouldn't. And by the way, that is why Newt Gingrich and Bill Frist and Chuck Grassley and Mitt Romney and a lot of other people who at various times are conservatives have been for this over the years.
Oh, they should have used Mitt Romney's op-ed about how important the mandate is. It's part of their Supreme Court case.
We can't wait for the ink to dry on a lot of what he says. We understand that. But the, you know, he changes his position. But listen, if you understand it that way, who should pay that guy's bill, you or him, with a motorcycle accident?
Yep.
An overwhelming majority of Americans believe this is the right thing to do. And to say that Congress can't pass a law that stops someone from having their neighbors pay their emergency room bill, that's a little odd.
Yeah, it's exactly.
And, you know, to say that that's their constitutional position, and I think they're just wrong. So, look, I hope what happens is the justices understand the truly conservative approach here for their institution, which is that 130 million voters ought to make this decision, not one justice or five justices.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You speak health care better than anybody. Representative Robert Andrews of the
Hope I did it in a soft voice.
You did.
Yes.
It was very soothing.
Okay.
From the great state of New Jersey. Thanks so much, Representative. Talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure, Stephanie.
All right.
Thank you.
There he goes. He just says stuff in a way that's so understandable to most people, to normal folks.
Unlike Mitt Romney.
Yes, unlike Mitt Romney.
Oh, don't make me play that again.
Okay, let's have some presidential paella again. Why not?
Oh,
this is the time that counts upon America. And for us to have a strong military and have a strong economy and strong families, we're going to have to have a president who understands the values and the principles that made America strong. I do. I will. We will restore America's greatness. America's greatest days are ahead. We're the shining city on a hill.
Oh, God.
Was he like on Jeopardy, like running out of time and trying to get in as many presidential catchphrases as possible? Shining City, get in hell! Oh! Our best is yet. What was he? Was paraphrasing somebody.
Our best days are still ahead of us.
Still ahead, and also.
I'm surprised he didn't say we need to get out of Iraq as carefully as we got in carelessly.
Carefully.
I get that one wrong.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. There's a in Live for Your Die Hard, the Die Hard 4, I guess. There was a terrorist message that consisted of a presidential speeches.
That's it. That's what he just said.
That's exactly what he did.
Are you saying Mitt Romney's a terrorist?
It's like, yes. It's like a hostage note.
Right, exactly.
Made up entirely of presidential.
And that's what they did. In that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? Okay.
Right.
Mittens on the...
President Obama had just put this in his column. He just assumed from the very beginning Wisconsin was going to be his.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? We're going to win Wisconsin. We're going to get the White House.
Oh, please. By the way, Jim, you know what I say to that reference? Yippee-ki-yay, mother... Good one.
That was the first
good
one.
Job. Okay, Mitt Romney.
I believe a special prosecutor should be looking into them.
Oh,
I think we should make every
yes.
effort to understand how those matters that relate to the safety of our men and women in uniform around the world and to our foreign policy plans, those items should not be leaked in such a way that puts America's interests and our people in jeopardy.
Yes, I'm sure he was said the exact same thing during the Valerie Plame thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Is he afraid that dressage sounds French and gay? Is that what he's worried about?
It's actually Anne's passion, not so much mine, to tell you the truth. When I get a chance to ride a horse, it's Western and it's on the trail. But Anne is
very much
devoted to the sport, and she loves it.
Oh,
like Reagan,
God.
Just like Reagan. I only ride manly Western horses on manly Western trails up to the shining city on a hill.
On a hill, like Reagan.
Okay. Rich guy horse laugh. Okay, would you like the seven major issues that Mitt Romney will not take a position on?
Sure.
He mostly won't take a position on anything. These just happen to be the major ones.
Right.
Romney wouldn't say whether he would undo Obama's decision to end deportations of DREAM-eligible immigrants. Hmm. Number two, he would not say whether he'd support Paycheck Fairness Act, won't specify which tax holes he would close. Romney won't say which federal agencies he'd eliminate. You remember at a fundraiser, he
tax
said
holes?
A lot
tax
of departments.
Holes. Did you say tax holes?
Tax hole.
I think you did.
Mitt Romney's kind of a tax hole.
He is.
For taking a $77,000 deduction for his dressage courses.
He's a tax hole.
You're a tax hole. Only my mistakes were funny.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm never intentionally funny. Only. Oh, boy. Rub slat in my wounds. Go ahead.
Of course.
Okay. He had said at a fundraiser he would close a lot of departments in Washington. He won't say which.
Which ones?
Romney won't say whether he supports the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act for women. Won't say whether he would fully support the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. Won't say whether he'd eliminate the carried interest and tax rate for private equity partners. Like his buddies at Bain.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tax holes. whether or not, I like the point that Think Progress made, whether or not Romney can continue the campaign while avoiding taking a position on so many important issues depends a lot on how the media reacts. Thank you. Do your job. Ask some hard questions, for God's sakes. Bob Schieffer can't do everything around here. All right, here's his...
Governor Romney, are you a tax hole?
Here's his word salad about... I created a really good new word.
You did. I
Yay
like
for
that.
Me.
Yay.
I'm a big girl. Okay. Mitt Romney on
I don't think we go jumping from one solution to the other. The president, I think, made a mistake by putting out there what he called a stopgap measure. I think that's not the right way to go. Of course, it's partly political. And the right course here is not to have a nominee like myself going out and talking about short-term answers. I want to put in place a long-term solution to our illegal immigration challenge.
Mm-hmm. Except you just said... You were on tape saying I'd veto the DREAM Act.
Yeah.
Self-deportation. And
so that.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing. Mitch McLiplis on the immigration.
My first question is, what's changed between last year when you said you didn't have the authority to do this and this year when you say you're going to do it, other than the proximity to the elections?
My God.
Marler.
You're a talking turtle.
My question is, where do you keep the lettuce for this joint? Oh, I'm feeling peckish. I haven't eaten in 200 years.
Can I just, by the way, give me my fun story music real quick? For anyone that's having, you know, trouble in your relationships, your marriage, there was a story my friend told me about these, you know, turtles live a zillion years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this turtle couple. I don't know where it is, what zoo or whatever.
Or a turtle couple.
But they've been together 115 years.
Whoa.
That's longer than Bob and Liddy.
But they recently had to separate him because she ripped his shell off.
Ah!
She bit part of his shell off.
Ah!
Because she just finally
with
snapped.
With her dentures?
She finally snapped. She's like, ow, you're so irritating. I can't, ow. And then ripped part of his shell off, so they had to separate them. It took her a while. Oh, I just hate the way you breathe.
She gummed his shell off. That took a while.
So that's what my friends Rob and Trish know. When they get irritated with each other, they say, I'm going to rip part of your shell off.
Is that Elaine Chao's going to do?
I'm going to walk through my turtle tunnel.
Yes. Yeah. He is married to Elaine Chao.
Elaine Chao? I bet that said, if you don't shut up, I will bite off part of your shell. 48 minutes after the hour.
Oh, my God.
Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
These Stephanie Miller Show. How awesome is this? Orly Tate's posted something about me.
What? No, she knows you exist.
Let me finish.
She knows you exist.
Oh, because I took a little shot on my current blog yesterday. I was talking about, I said the journalist in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
I said, and I use the word journalist the same way I call Orly Tate's a dentist.
Oh, dear. Oh, boy.
She wants to be a dentist. Anyway, she writes here all in caps.
I'd like to be a dentist.
Lawyer dentist. cause, I don't know why I'm just reading it in her accent, because I'm just picturing her typing furiously.
Yeah.
Call Stephanie Miller Show, let he know that respect needs to be earned. She deserves zero respect for being an Obama lackey instead of respectable journalist.
Well, you're not a journalist.
I never claimed to be a journalist.
Yeah.
I don't know. Use the Google.
I think it sounded better in Moldovan.
Let me finish!
No, she's Hebrew.
Oh,
she speaks Hebrew.
Well, listen, in addition to.
All I know about the muckraker in the White House, or the White House Rose Garden, is it's hard.
Do-do-do-down, do-do-do-down-down. Put Obama down, do-do-do-down-down. Just a right-wing clown, do-do-do-down-down. Waking Monk is hard to do. They'll take your love away from me. He's a Kenyan Muslim, that is true. And Ricky Monk is hard to do. Don't say that you won't tweet no more, cause my IQ is at 64. He's a communist and Nazi too. And Ricky Monk is hard to do. Down, down, down.
Dumb it.
Dumb it down.
Yeah, dumb it down, down, down. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently
of...
any moron can be a blogger, and some of them are.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Speaking of muckrakers and real journalists, here he is, John Fugelsang. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, children. Orly Tate is the only woman I know who speaks in all caps. That was a very, very beautiful expression.
Let's not finish. John Fugelsang in for Jennifer Granholm all this week, doing a spectacular job, I'm told, as always.
Yeah, you did an awesome job last night.
Thank you so much. Let me tell you, what a great staff. Governor Granholm doesn't hire chimps to work for her, let me tell you.
No, sir. What's up on the big show tonight? Who are you having on? What's the haps?
Well, we've got some great guests, including former Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman, to talk about the 40th anniversary of Watergate, of course. She was one of the congresspeople investigating at the time, and it's great to have her firsthand perspective on it. We're also doing a series on LGBT candidates running for office. Last night we had Kyrsten Sinema.
Right.
Who's running for Congress in Arizona. If she's elected, she'll be the first openly bisexual member of Congress.
Right.
Wow.
At least I think I could be just confused. And
Oh, stop it!
John Lewis.
And finally, your boyfriend, the man who could make you cross over where Hal and I could not, Mr. Van Jones, will be joining me this evening on the World.
Okay. John Fugelsang, want to get your take on, you know me, Hal and I, happy clappy liberals. We drag you with us sometimes. Democratic strategy. I love this, though. David Plouffe was on the talk shows, and he basically told worried Dems to quit hand-wringing. It's one of my pet peeves, too. Democratic strategists have raised red flags about the Obama campaign's messaging recently, worrying he's spending too much time explaining why the economy has improved, not enough time talking about the next 4 years, yada, yada. I'm sorry, but we've talked about this before. I think there are some former Hillary supporters that can really be off-message talking to you, James Carville. They're talking about James Carville. He said, I'm worried that when the White House or the campaign talks about the progress that's being made, people take that as a signal they think things are fine. You're playing right into Romney's hand. The president has been very clear that he doesn't think things are fine, and that's why he's talking about it.
Even when Carville's on message, he's off message. It's just
Well, there's three basic types of liberals who criticize Obama. On the one hand, you have just the hardcore genetic liberals who hate everything he does if it's not 100% passing their purity test, and these are people who really want Mitt Romney to appoint the next three Supreme Court justices. On the other hand, you've got the people like, I guess I'm in that number, people who love the president, who want his reelection, but who will criticize him on certain areas because, you know, he told us at Netroots to hold my feet to the fire, and because when moderates see
they
realize the president's moderate.
Right, but we're running out of time here, but I thought it was really important how he ended. He told Democrats, quit the hand-wringing, focus on winning the election.
Mm-hmm. Right on, I agree.
He said, what Democrats, other supporters of the president need to do is work like heck to win this election. That's where we need our energy focused, not on some kind of hand-wringing that sometimes occurs in our party. Time for hand-wringing is over, everybody. Time for happy clapping.
He does a lot more than send us emails we don't read.
All right. John Fugelsang in for Jennifer Granholm tonight. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.